Yesterday during the day, I just wrote something down. And it's this, is that Sam talked about this, and this is true, that when you become a Christian, the moment you become a Christian, everything that Jesus is, you have. So all the equipment that's necessary to live a Christian life, and to live a Christian life that's a victorious one, you have. So the issue isn't about you trying to get more of God. It's really all about God trying to get more of you. And one of the things I think that happens in conferences like this, especially for young people, but for adults too, the same for everybody, is that Lord's just trying to get hold of more of you. And because if you're going to experience what it is for Jesus to reign in your hearts, so he's over, conquering things like fear and anxiety and depression and self-rejection and lust and pride, if he's going to conquer those things in you, and if he's going to release his life through you supernaturally, so if he's going to reign in you, in your heart, the life, Misty Edwards says, life takes place behind the face. So not the things everybody else sees, but all the jazz that goes on behind the scenes in your thought life and your emotions. If he's going to reign there, and if he's going to be released through you supernaturally, he's got to rule over you as king. That's just the way it is. So one of the things that I find, especially among young people, when you go to conferences, not introspection, it's not about guilt. God never wants you to feel like in condemnation or guilt. That's just not what he does. He's just not that cheap. He doesn't need to do that. He wins us over. He lures us with his love. But what he does is he causes us to start evaluating our life. And the Holy Spirit searches our heart about, are these areas of my life really yielded to the Lordship of Christ? So I know Jared talked about that a lot last night. I'm not going to talk about that a bunch. But just, that's such a significant thing, is that God wants to bring order into your life spiritually so that he can pour out everything he wants to pour out in your experience. And so if you find yourself in activities that aren't God, he wants you to be able to bring that up under his lordship. If you're in relationships that are distracting you from your walk with the Lord, your loyalty has got to be to God's will. And not only to God's will, but a loyalty to the vision, the desire to be everything God's called you to be. To not settle for anything less. Because the enemy will always want you to stop halfway or three quarters of the way. To be settled for less than God's best. But if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, there's just some dreams in your heart about where you want to go in the Lord. If you don't have dreams like that, then I would say, before this day's over with, you need to encounter Christ and become a Christian. Because if the Holy Spirit's living in you at all, he's sort of releasing, you may be fighting it, just holy dreams to experience everything that God wants you to experience. And that's why I tell young people too, I learned this a long time ago at a conference when I was a teenager, like the word date, D-A-T-E, divine appointment to edify. And if you're in a relationship with somebody else and the focus of that relationship isn't edifying you, focuses on not on Jesus, if it's all drama and the drama isn't about, oh my gosh, what are we learning in Christ? We're going after Jesus. Then you're in the wrong relationship. And the enemy will use things like that to kill, steal, and destroy. And I know that when you're young, you think, well, I've got plenty of time. Man, when you get to be my age and you're 64 years old, you're going, gosh, I wish I had not wasted 1 year fooling around. Just mess. There's so much God wants to do. You know, how many of you know who Heidi Baker is? Raise your hand. God began to use her in profound ways in the streets of Southern California when she was 14 years old. She didn't know how to do everything, but she was just radically sold out to the purposes of God. You know, some of you have heard this story before, but 2 years ago, we were in Bubukwanga in Uganda. Mark was there, and the Fillings were there, and Sam and Luke were there. And there was a little girl who was 15 years old, and she was looked like she was about 10. And she had some kind of cerebral issues in her brain. She went blind when she was 11, couldn't see at all. So she was extremely depressed. So we had all these lines of people that we were praying for, and she was in my line, and I prayed for her for a while. And we had a little bit of a breakthrough where everything wasn't no longer just dark. Things were white, not light, but just white. But we couldn't get past that. And she was so depressed because, you know, to go blind like that is a hard thing. But to be a girl, you know, the odds are kind of against you to be a girl in Africa, and to be a girl who's poor, who's blind, it's like a death sentence. Because Bubikwang is a very small, out-of-the-way place near the Congo border. And so I prayed for her, but there were other people in line, and so the other team members got through. They helped pray for her, and she got prayed for, I don't know, Dan, Deborah, maybe an hour or more. We just sit her down and pray for her. But when the day was over, she still had not gotten past where she could see. She could see white now instead of black, but she couldn't see. But the Lord Jesus just put this in my heart to tell her, and I said, because I'd heard this story of someone about this from Brazil, and I said, look, you know, sometimes, I don't know why, but God will start to do a work, and over the next few days, he just finishes it. So we're just believing that, God, you're going to just be healed. Well, 3 days later, the bishop, Bishop Hannington Bahamuka, dear friend of ours, went back to the village, and she was totally healed. She could see clearly. And now she's 17 years old. She's the worship leader of that region and has brought many, many people in the kingdom, serving God's purposes as a set-apart person. God can do powerful things with young people and through young people. And so I just don't want you to miss anything God has for you. I want to challenge you to not be settled, not be satisfied for anything less than him and all that he is and all that he has. I brought this because there are a couple of things I want to talk about. What I really want to do today is kind of settle one thing and then give you a few tools to walk with when you go back home. Because conferences are cool. This is a cool conference. Some of our kids are going to go to the ramp in a few weeks. That's a cool conference. We're going to go to the One Thing conference in December. That's the coolest conference of all. But when it's all said and done, you got to go back and deal with life. Brothers and sisters and parents and school. Guys and gals, you know? So how do you, like, maintain? You know, the Christian life shouldn't just be a high, then a valley, then a high, then a valley. God wants to do a thing in a conference is to kind of elevate your walk so that you walk at a higher place consistently. Not just so you can go back and point in an experience. All righty? So I want to help you kind of walk some stuff out, kind of keep it simple. But one of the things I want you to understand is that you all know that God is a Trinity. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? Well, you also are a Trinity. Body, soul, and spirit. Those are the three parts that make up who you are. Your body, which is obvious. Your spirit was like your spiritual heart. And then your soul. And your soul is that part of you that relates to the world. It's your mind. It's your emotions, and it's your will. Alrighty? So your soul is your mind, emotions, and will. Your spirit is the heart of your spiritual life. And then there's your body. And what the Lord wants to do is he wants to when Jesus comes to live inside of us, he comes and he fills our spirit with his life. But he wants that life to so be released into our souls that he's able to teach our minds, he's able to control our emotions and direct our wills in our life with him at all times. And so I brought this out because I want you to see this. This is like a good Starbucks coffee thing. And so I want you to think about that as your life. This water is you. And I didn't have anything else I couldn't want to stick my fingers down in hot water. But this is like your spirit. I'm going to put down right in the very center of this glass of water. And inside of this is a tea bag. So we're going to say that when you become a Christian, this tea bag is full. So it represents all that Christ is. And the moment that you become a Christian, your spirit gets filled with that tea bag, with all that Jesus is. And it's right in the middle of your life. It's there. You got it. You don't ever get more of Jesus. Jesus just gets more of you. You just experience the more of Jesus. But you don't get more of Jesus. Don't let everybody ever tell you that you get more of Jesus, because you don't. And one of the things that you'll notice, and we'll let it sit here for a few minutes, is that it'll seep out a little bit. I'll help it seep out a little bit. And the water at the bottom is beginning to change color a little bit. And this water will get a little bit tinted. And just at the very bottom, it's beginning to seep out. And unfortunately, that's the way most Christians live the Christian life. Is they have all that Jesus is in their spirit, but because they don't let him invade and take over the control of their soul, they're not filled experientially with him. Though they're filled with him, because all that he is there. This tea bag is full. See the little bottom parts beginning to get a little tinted? And so what happens is, so many Christians live the Christian life being influenced by Jesus some, but not really being controlled by Jesus. Being impacted by Jesus here and there, there and there. There are certain areas that Jesus kind of, but there are certain areas that you're still in control of. You know, you can tell me about this, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to watch. You can talk to me about here, but I'm in control of what I'm going to listen to. You know, you can do this, but I'm not going to, I'm in control of my relationships. I'm going to do this, but I'm in control of my money. I'm in control of the way I worship. And so you got Jesus. And as time goes by, you get a little bit, the water changes. You're being influenced by him, but not saturated with him. You with me? So you got him. You got all that he is. But all that he is doesn't have all that you are. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, is when, by a choice of our will, we release Jesus from just our spirits. And he begins to shake us up and change us, and then fills us. To where we're not just slightly influenced, a little tainted by Jesus, but we're now dominated by Jesus. We're controlled by the fullness of Christ. You can see it if this is your body. The water there is you, your soul, your personality, mind, emotions, and will. The Spirit's now, your Spirit's now released Jesus, and you can see it in your body. You can see it through your body. It's manifested in your soul. You're no longer controlled by your temperament or by your moods, but you're filled. That's what baptism of the Holy Spirit is. You don't get something new. You're just immersed into the fullness of Christ that you already have. Okay? And the more that's released, you know what? The more dominant Jesus becomes in your life. That's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Right? What I want to make sure we do today, don't spill this on you. I'll do this, I'll be better. I want to make sure before you leave today that every one of you have an opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit and you've kind of leaked out, give you a chance to have a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. But if you've never known baptism of the Spirit, you may have Jesus in you. And like that water was getting tainted, I mean, he influences you. You know he's there, and there's a love for you, and there's a growing interest in you, but you haven't seen the power of Jesus released in you, reigning over your emotions and all those things, and you haven't seen the power of Christ released through you, where when you pray for people who are blind, they get healed. Just recently, Tim Oakey told the story Sunday, I went out and helped bless a business in Marion. And there was a guy, this is the Christian life. When he's in control and he's allowed to live his life through you, there's like this amazing adventure. And so I go out there to pray for the business. Tim's been trying to get me to go for a couple of weeks. But my schedule wouldn't work out. And finally he said, "Hey, Bishop, can you come before Saturday?" And I realized that their business was going to open on Saturday, so I better go. So Friday's usually my day off, but I go out there to bless the business. And there, it's like a hardware sport business, big warehouse. And they're stacking all the shelves with wood and putting things in the store still because they're opening up the next morning. And there were a couple of guys that they had hired who were just on the street that he had never seen before to come help stack the wood. Now understand the timing of the Lord. If I'd have gone any other day, those guys wouldn't have been there. So I go in, we bless the business, do Eucharist, I'm all dressed up in my uniform, and use holy water, do all that cool stuff. And when I'm about to leave, Tim said, "Hey, you know, so-and-so, he wanted to know if I was his pastor, your pastor." And I told him, "Yeah." He said, "Will he pray for me?" I said, "Sure." So we're walking out the door, and this guy's huge. He's about 6'5", big guy. He comes up to me. I said, "What's the deal?" And he said, "Well, my foot, my toe." He said, "I've had this issue with my toe for months. I can't work. It's a lot of pain. So it's really hard today. This is hard for me." And he said, they don't think it's not diabetes. I don't know what's going on. And to the point where they thought he was going to lose his toe. He's just in pain all the time. He said, "I've just been dealing with the pain today." But that's why he's not been able to keep a steady job. So I said, "Will you pray for me?" So I just prayed for him right there in the walkway out into the parking lot. "Bishop, do you have this gift of healing?" "No, but I do have the gift of Jesus." Sam quoted that verse yesterday from 2 Corinthians 9. And God is able, the God of limitless ability, has abounded all grace to you. That you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. All grace. Well, the grace to pray for people and get healed. All grace. And so I just said, "Lord Jesus, I thank you for the grace to heal this man," and prayed for him, and he started crying, which scared me because he was really so big guy. I thought, "I hope he's not mad, you know." And he just began to go, "It doesn't hurt anymore, it doesn't hurt anymore, it doesn't hurt anymore." Well, what happened was the Lord healed him, and Tim saw him again a couple weeks ago, and not only did the Lord heal him, he's got like a brand new toe. He said, "It's like a baby toe." Who does stuff like that? Jesus. That's just normal, run-of-the-mill Christianity. That's Jesus being released through you, but he can't be released through you freely if he's not reigning in you. If he's not Lord, in control, you've surrendered it all, everything. You know, the Christian life is so fun because you're not troubled with a lot of decisions to make except just to obey. And then he just lives the most amazing life ever. This is John chapter 1. Let me just describe to you, for one, because you hear the word grace a lot. What is grace? Let's see. It's free. By grace we're saved through faith. It's not the result of works, it's the gift of God. So grace means it's something free. It's free, and it's something that's unconditional. It's limitless. I mean, you can't measure it. It talks about the unsearchable riches of the grace of God in Christ. So it's free. It's unconditional, it's unlimited, it's endless. But grace isn't a thing. Let me what grace is. It's free, limitless, and endless affection of God, his love for you is grace. You can't earn it. Nothing you can do to make him love you more. There's not one thing you can do to make him love you less. It's God's affection. It's his activity. You see, that man could say, "Man, the grace of God. I just got healed by the grace of God." The activity of God, like when the circumstances just work out, the situation happens, when he opens doors, like for me to pray for that person, just the grace of God. And we've seen those situations happen so many times. Just God's blessing and favor in your life. But it's also not just his affection and his activity in your life, but his ability in you to live the Christian life. So it's free, limitless, and endless, unconditional activity, affection, and ability of God, and it's all in the person of Jesus. Grace has a face, and it's not that one, though that is a face. Behind that face is a person named Grace. Well, grace has a face, and the grace of God is in the person of Jesus. He carries with him and makes real to us God's affection, God's activity, and God's ability on us, around us, and in us. You with me? It's the Holy Spirit who makes all that real. The Holy Spirit, like, carries Jesus to us, makes Jesus real to us and in us. This is John chapter 1. Let's see. Says in verse 16, it says, "For of his fullness, Jesus, we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Verse 14, "And the Word which became flesh and dwelt among us, we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus is full of grace and truth. And he says here, "And of his fullness we have all received grace on top of grace." That's the language, on top of grace, on top of grace. There's always grace, always more grace, always the free activity of Jesus, always the free ability of Jesus, always the affection of God in the person of Jesus. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And it's a gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You know, you can't listen to a lie of the enemy that says, "Man, I blew it this morning, so there's no way in the world I can experience all that God has for me." That's a lie. Because one of the expressions of grace, affection, is I get to go to him and say, "Lord, I blew it." And he goes, "Well, there's grace to forgive you. You're forgiven. Now get up and start walking again." Okay? There's a place in 2 Timothy 2:1 it says, "Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. So let me tell you that verse again that Sam quoted yesterday. It's kind of the gospel within the gospel. The God of limitless ability has, it's already happened, God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you. All grace. The grace to do relationships, the grace to be a good son, a good daughter, to be a good friend, to be a student, the grace to not give in to anger, fear, greed, lust, jealousy, backbiting, talking mean to people, to not walk in insecurity, self-rejection. The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you that you always having. Not hoping, but always having. Because remember, he's in you. So if he's filled you, all the grace of Jesus is alive in you and active in you, just ready for you to celebrate. The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you that you always having. Always having. The God of limitless ability, about all grace, you always having all sufficiency in all things, in any situation, and every temptation may abound to every good work. Now, if grace has a face, she's a good illustration. There's two graces, as a matter of fact. Double grace. Limitless grace. If grace has a face, and if grace is in the person of Jesus, let me translate that verse for you so it makes more sense. The God of limitless ability has abounded all that Jesus is to you. That you always having the all-sufficiency of Jesus in all things and at all times and in every situation and facing every temptation may abound to every good work. Hear me again. The God, the Father of limitless ability, has abounded all that Jesus is to you. That you always, not sometimes, always, no matter what the situation is, always having the all-sufficiency of Christ in all things, may abound to every good work. And this is what I teach people all the time. If you have something, you don't need to ask me for it, do you? Like if somebody's attacking you and you stop and you want to cry out for help and all of a sudden there's like this superhero and you go, no, I got this, don't worry. What do you do? You go, well, help. No, you go, oh, well, thanks. That's what you do when somebody offers you a gift. You know, if one of you come to me and said, hey, I need some money to go. If Anna or Abby say, hey, can we go? Or Gracie comes to me and says, hey, we need to go eat. Do you got any money, Papa? And I go, so here's 20. They don't go like, I mean, really, Papa, do you need, we need some money. And I said, how much did you need? So we just needed $10. So here's 20. Well, oh, God, please give us money to go to lunch. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? I just gave this to you. Well, Papa, I'll pay you. I don't want you to pay me back. It's a gift. Here, it's more than enough. I've abounded all grace to you. All they got to do now is just say, thanks, Papa, and then go enjoy more than enough for their need. That's the Christian life. You were born into the kingdom with that. Grace has a face. His name is Jesus. Those of you who've been with me at conferences, as in words, you've heard this a lot. I haven't done this illustration in a while. The kids here probably have seen me do it, but trusting that your attention span is what I think it is when I see your faces, that maybe you won't remember all of it. And for all the Stoll children, if your attention span's like your mom's, then you need to hear this about 15 times. These are smartphones. And I'm old enough to remember when they first came out. And I remember when, you know how you can scroll down? The iPhone was the first one that could do that. And when I first saw that, Andrew Slagle had one of those in my house. I thought, oh my God. Jesus is coming back again. How do you do that? It's like, that was to me like the thermos. How does it know when it's cold or hot? You ever figured that one out? I'm like, that's crazy, the scrolling thing. And then an iPhone was like the first smartphone. And when iPhone came out, the way they got people to buy the phone was they were the first ones who had that and had apps. And so they would like do these commercials and they'd go, hey, you're walking down New York City and you want to go to a Chinese restaurant and you don't know where to find one? There's an app for that. And the guy would stop and look at Chinese restaurants. Has an app for Chinese restaurants. Or, you know, you want to get a taxi, there's an app for that. If you want to go see a psychiatrist, there's an app for that. And they would, every night, there would be these commercials. You remember those, Scott? There's an app for that. There's an app for that. There's an app for that. So it's like a million apps now on iPhone. And that became the big deal. Like, you have these apps. So I've got a bunch of apps, too. 95% of them, I never use them and don't know how to if I wanted to. But I got apps. But here's the deal, is that what if the phone, this phone, let's just pretend the phone's Jesus. And what if iPhone says, here's the thing. When you get the phone, all million apps are yours for free. They're just at your fingertip. You just got to use them. And you go, really? Because you see, it's just part of the equipment that comes with the phone. So it makes it a smartphone. So think about apps as the different kind of grace that you need. The activity of Jesus for free that you need in certain situations. So when you leave here, something comes up and you want to lose your temper, you know what? Jesus Christ lives inside of you. All grace. always having the all-sufficiency of Christ in all things. So what can you do there? It's a gift. It's free. All you can do is push the button. You understand what I'm saying? How do we push the button? By faith. What's faith look like when you're talking about gifts? Something that's free. Thank you. And so you get tempted to get angry, you remember, oh, there's an app for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the grace to not smart off. Resentful thought comes in your head, Lord Jesus, thank you for the grace to not be resentful. You want to be rebellious or disrespectful, Lord Jesus, thank you for the grace that you are to not disrespect. And when you do that, when you push the button, he works. It happens. It's a miracle. When a person becomes a Christian, what they're basically saying is, Lord Jesus, come live in my life. And then when it's done, you don't walk out of there going, okay, now, Lord Jesus, come live in my life. And then Lord Jesus, come live in my life. Come live in my life. Come live in my life. No, if you believe what God's word says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them. So, Lord Jesus, come live in my life. Thank you. Whew. You've come live in my life. I don't understand it all yet, but I know I'm forgiven. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Whew. Because that's what his word says. So a lustful thought comes. There's an app for that. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace to not give in to impure thoughts. And you know what happens? Because you see, what's happening is, that's like this monster, like if it's lust or anger or bitterness or criticalness or gossip comes at you, the superhero's already there. And all you got to do is to say, oh, thanks. You got it, Lord. You got it, Lord. And you just simply let him get it, and he does. You with me, everybody? See, here's the deal, is that the potential that you have to live the Christian life is his potential. The Christian life isn't hard. It is absolutely impossible because it's supernatural. But it's not impossible to him. That's why he came to live inside of you. When you became a Christian, he didn't like stand over you or just stay in heaven and tap you on the head and go, hey man, Austin, that's cool. You're saved now. I'll be cheering you on the way to heaven. Go, Austin, do better. Try harder. Make more commitments. Promise you'll do better. That's awful. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to come live in you by my Spirit and give you my ability to live the Christian life. Wow. Because only by my ability can you live the Christian life. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And this life which I now live in my humanity, I live by faith. What's faith? Oh, there's an app for that. Thanks. There's a grace for that. Thanks. You get worrying, you lay it by at night, you start worrying, you go, oh, there's a grace for that, Lord. I give a situation for you. Thank you. You got it. Somebody hurts your feelings? You want to go pout? Lord Jesus, thank you for the grace to love this person even though they hurt my feelings. Okay? You got any questions? Adults? You think any questions that they might want to ask? That they're too shy to ask? There's the doctor that I go see in Prattville is an integrative medicine guy. He's an MD, but he also practices naturopath stuff. I've only been going there for a little while, but I'm getting to know all the staff. So I'm knowing them all by first name, and all of them are sick. That's not a good sign, I think. And But I'm at the place now where they're talking to me. I'm telling them I'm praying for you. So I'm going to start seeing some miracles happen in their lives. Because there's an app for that. He said, well, man, isn't that kind of scary and shy when you go in there? Doesn't it make you feel insecure? Well, there's an app for that too. Lord Jesus, thank you for the grace, your grace, to not give in to insecurity. Thank you for your grace just to love these people right where they're at, to be involved in their lives. So I'm thanking the Lord that the grace is already in you. When this conference is over, in his presence is fullness of joy. It doesn't say in that conference is fullness of joy. Conferences just remind you, kind of shock you into going, oh yeah, it can really be awesome. But there's grace for you to leave here and for what you've experienced at this conference to actually get better and better. Because you've got something better in a conference going on inside of you. Same as Jesus. All that Jesus is. And you know what happened? We talked about, Sam talked about identity, but you know what happened when, after I released all that Jesus from my spirit into my soul? Totally changed its identity, didn't it? So that's your identity. It's who you are in Christ. Because here's the cool thing. The T, which is Jesus, is in the water. But you know what? The water's in the T. It's like this, it's called union. There's like this oneness. Once the T gets in the water and the T's released, the T's in the water and the water's in the T. Because you're in Christ, Christ is in you, and therefore everything you face out of the reality that Christ is not only in you, he's prepared to live his life through you. He's prepared to reign in you. Everything he's capable of, I'm capable of. His limitless ability is my limitless ability. His ability to be holy is my ability to be holy. His ability to not give in to bitterness is my ability to not give in to bitterness. His ability to not fall into lust is my ability. His ability to not push that button and look at pornography on the internet, that's my ability. I'm in the T is in me. He's my life. I'm in him, his in me, where there's a oneness, and therefore, I'm only limited by what I believe or don't believe. Christians don't fail because they're weak. They fail because they don't believe. Because they don't draw from the grace of God. They fail because they forget that they're in the T and the T is in them and they don't have to face this in their own strength anymore. Nothing more horrible than trying to live a supernatural life in your own strength. But nothing more glorious, nothing more magnificent. There is no greater magic carpet ride than letting Jesus Christ himself live the life that he alone can live. It's full of signs and wonders from the inside out. The sign and wonder to not give in to fear, to not give in to anger, to not get into greed, not get into lust, not get into jealousy, not get into criticizing, talking about people, being disrespectful. That's a sign and wonder. That's a miracle. And what happens when that miracle is happening inside of you, he'll just put you in situations where the miraculous life that's working inside of you pops out and impacts other people around you. And you start looking for opportunities just to speak a word in somebody's life. I just heard this recently. I don't know if Dan and Deborah knew this one story, but I was with Father Ivan Roca from Brazil, and their church, this 9,000-member cathedral, but their building holds about 2,000 people, a little bit more than that, but he was telling me, he said, Bishop, I was just walking around giving words of knowledge and prophetic words. And so I remember this couple kind of, sort of. It was one night. And he said, you stop at this couple. I think the guy had like a white t-shirt. He said, they're in their 60s. They said, they're really just broken. He said, I didn't know this. He said, they lost everything and they were just sort of, it was embarrassing. They were living with their children to take care of them. He said, you stopped in front of them and you said, I just want you to know there's about to happen. A breakthrough is about to come into your life financially. God's going to totally change your situation. Well, that didn't look particularly poor or anything. It's just what the Lord said to do. No, how does that happen? Well, when he's reigning in you, he can tell you, hey, why don't you stop and give a word? And then he's released through you. But he's got to reign in you, he's going to be released through you. He can't reign in you and be released through you unless he's ruling over you. Got to be Lord. You with me? And so I stopped giving that word. And so I just went on because there were a gazillion people there. And Yvonne told me when I was in New York recently, he said, you know, Bishop, that couple, he said, you don't know their situation. Tell me the situation. He said, they had had this trial thing, I guess something that happened many years ago where something happened to them had been wronged. And the courts in Brazil are bizarre. It's terrible. You can't get anything done. It's kind of crooked. And so many, many years ago, and it just died out. And so they never gave it any more thought. He said like a week and a half or 2 weeks after you gave him that word, that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that whole case came up again. They won it. And within a few weeks, he said, they're wealthy. Now, I think that probably helped them believe. Now, if they get stuck in traffic, they probably aren't going to get real frustrated. Believe, hey, God, you know what? It's your life. I'm in Christ. This is where you want to sit. This is where we'll sit. Maybe somebody wants to pull up next to me. I need to go. Just that one little handshake, a little smile could keep somebody who's been having suicidal thoughts. Go, well, you know, people do care. Man, the Lord just does it in all little and big stuff. But that's not because Chuck is like this supernatural person. I'm not. Most of the time when I take teams to these places, the gifts of healing, they flow in much more stuff than I do. I'm just anointed to facilitate things. But Jesus just does what he does. And it's so cool. It's much better than the American dream. It's much better than anything you could ever imagine. It's just a Christian life. Christian life rocks. My theology is very simple. I have three principal foundational to my theology. God is big. God is good. And Jesus rocks. If you'll get those three things down inside of you, you'll be a brilliant theologian. I've discovered when they start adding more things to your theology than that, you really end up getting messed up. So, all right. What I want to do, if you're a Christian, then you have the bag of tea in you. But I don't want it to be locked away in your spirit. You have the fullness of Christ. But baptism in the Spirit, fullness of the Spirit, immerses you into the fullness of Christ. It's released into your personality. So that he can now, again, teach your mind, control your emotions, and direct your will 24/7. So that you can go to bed at night and go, Lord Jesus, this has been so cool being in Christ and just watching you do what you're doing, now being a part of your story instead of my story. My story's got too much drama in it, too much stuff. I like being surrendered to you and trusting you. Moment by moment, just thanking you for grace, just applying each app for every situation. This is so cool. It's been such a cool day. And Lord, I've missed it a couple of times. I thank you for your forgiveness. But I can't wait to wake up in the morning and find out what you're going to be up to again. Because it could be anything, Lord. It could be all kinds of stuff that you might want to do. But more importantly, you're going to rule and reign in me. And if all I end up doing is sitting under a tree all day long, I'm going to know peace, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to know that instead of anxiety and fear and self-rejection and all that nonsense. Alrighty? It's just a cool way to live. Alrighty. Let's just stand together. So getting filled with the Holy Spirit isn't you getting something you didn't have. It's something that you already have getting you. You with me? It's something that you already have getting hold of you. It's not getting hold of something you don't have. It's something you already have getting hold of you. And so if you'd like for all that Jesus is to get hold of all that you are, so that you can live the kind of incredible, supernatural life that Jesus lives, Man, in Uganda, up in these mountains, out in the middle of the jungle. And I carved out this little place among these banana trees. And there was a little church there, and it was just a dirt place. And we went in this little building, and there must have been 300 people crammed in this building that would hold about 75. Scott Howard was with me. And so when we got through our meeting, I mean, the room, the air was just full of disease, and it was... So we stepped outside and we created a line to pray for them, for people to get healed. And so I asked Scott, I said, Scott, did you bring the holy oil? And he said, oh no, I forgot it. That had been a big deal for us that trip, to touch people, anoint them. I said, don't have any holy oil? I thought, oh man. So I said, you got any Purell? He said, yeah. So I took out Purell. I got Purell, that stuff that kills the bacteria. One thing about Purell, it disappears faster, so you don't have to like clean it off. So I blessed the bottle of Purell. We started praying for people, gazillion people coming by. And we had to pray for them kind of fast because there were so many of them. And this one lady brought this little kid. He was like maybe 5 years old, and he had encephalitis. His head was real swollen, and he couldn't, because the pressure had gotten so bad, he couldn't talk. He stuttered so bad he couldn't talk. And because there's no doctors really to get to, it's easy. So I remember praying for him, anointing him with Purell. And I don't have time to see anything, so we do that. And then when the meeting's over, the several bishops like rush us out of there, take us back to our little rustic hotel. Now in Africa, this is out in the middle of banana jungle, but they all have phones because they have better cell service than we do. So we go back and go to the hotel, and about 30 minutes later, there's this phone call from the guy who's the pastor of that little jungle church. And he's like freaking out, telling our bishops, he said, that little boy's head went down normal. And he's beginning to speak again. That's just the Jesus stuff. Now, does it always look like that? No, but it can sometimes if you're looking for the opportunities. Right? Gosh, there's so many stories that so many of us can tell. But I can tell you this. I'm 64 years old. Life is better than it was when I was 24, 34, 44, 54. That's the way Jesus is. I mean, see, because the more I grow, the tea gets darker. I'm getting saturated more. I'm getting soaked more. I'm experiencing more. I'm thinking... I'm discovering new things more about this Christ who lives in me as my life, the fullness of Jesus. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is crazy. God showed me some things in the last 2 weeks. I'm bouncing off the walls going, oh my gosh. Christianity is like the coolest thing in the history of the world because it's supernatural. I don't have to watch movies about Marvel magazine superstars. I got one of those guys living in me and my life's like that. Yours can be too. In the little things that make up life and in the big things that make up life. I want to take some of you who have been wanting to for years, some of you on my trips to Africa and Brazil. You know? But I don't want you to go if like your little cup of tea is like barely tinted. The world needs to encounter Jesus. And he's only got one plan, and that's you. You're his hands to touch with. You're his eyes to see through. You're his lips to speak with. You're his mind to think with. You're his ears to hear with. You're his feet to walk with. And you're his heart to love through. You're his body. Now he wants to fill your humanity. So, I believe that when a person's filled with the Holy Spirit, people ask me this time a lot of times, do you have to get a prayer language? Do you have to speak in tongues? No, I don't guess. It's like saying, when Christmas comes, do you have to get presents too? To me, that's like a weird question. And because I think the biblical evidence is that that's one of those things that God gives. It's like a little special prize, putting a bow in the package. You know, it's just like this little neat thing, this little thing called prayer language. And we've seen hundreds and thousands of people all over the world get filled with the Holy Spirit like this. One time, we were in Budumbujio on the top of that mountain. We had all these clergy from Congo who spoke French and from Uganda who spoke English, and they had their wives and stuff. And I was stunned at how many of them had never been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Man, the Holy Spirit came in there and it sounded like a tornado in that room. Prayed, people just praying, the Spirit got filled, the Spirit just rocked their world. Let's just go for it, kids. Amen? So I did this for everybody because some of you have been filled with the Spirit before and you have your prayer language. So I want you to use that in just a second so that nobody else gets self-conscious. But if you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit or been filled with the Spirit and you've never released your prayer language, I'm going to do very simple teaching. I learned this from a guy named Terry Fulham. Great man of God. He was a renewal leader in the Episcopal Church. I think he and Dennis Bennett were the most prominent guys in the renewal movement. I don't know if he's still alive or not, Scott, is he? He was living south of Jacksonville, sort of on the west coast there, on the east coast, for a while. But this is what I learned from him many years ago. He would pray. He was a cool guy, Harvard graduate guy, brilliant guy, loved the Lord. But he used to lead people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he'd say, here's what I'm going to do. Acts says they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Holy Spirit didn't cause them to levitate and he didn't speak in tongues through them. They spoke as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. He said, so we're going to do something really simple. He said, I'm going to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and he's going to do it. He said he would. He promised he would. Scripture says he promised he would. So there's no question he's going to fill the Holy Spirit. He says, but then I want you to do is just open your mouth, you don't have to scream, and I want you to just start praising God, but not in English. It's by faith. What's it going to sound like? I don't know. Whatever those little syllables are in your head, speak them. When I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I got four little syllables. Now my head was so involved in this, I thought, no, this doesn't make any sense. But the Bible says when you speak in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. I mean, aren't you glad that sometimes you can do something and you don't have to think? Praying in tongues is awesome because one of the things that happens, if you've got a real battle and you're like obsessing over thoughts, you pray in the Spirit, your mind like, okay, whew, my mind needs a break here. But I'm never, ever, ever going to fudge this. We were one place overseas where they were a little nervous about the whole thing about praying in tongues. And they asked me, they said, well, don't push it too much because we kind of taught them not a big deal. And I mean, it's not the most important thing in the world. Getting filled with the Spirit is, but it's one of those things. Why wouldn't we want that? And I said, okay, I'll honor you. Because the year before we had been there and we had a gazillion people get filled with the Spirit. Well, we did on this trip too, but I would go like, you don't have to pray in tongues, but you can if you want to. They go, but no, you don't have to, but you can. You really can. Alrighty? And so I'm going to pray for you right now. And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit before, I'm just going to pray if you have a fresh filling. Then I want you just to start praising God in your prayer language. Will you do that for me, those of you who've been filled before? So you create a background so anybody else is getting the new prayer language, they don't feel self-conscious, okay? And when I first got I got four words, Sudamaka, four syllables. Oh, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I for 2 or 3 weeks, I thought that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And so Olivia talked to me about it because I'd say, Olivia, it's not God. She said, what is God? He promised. He said, if you ask me the Spirit, what I'd give you, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give the things of the Spirit to those who ask him? I said, yeah, but this doesn't make any sense. It's not God. And so I'd get up and go in the bathroom and I'd go, Sudamaka, Sudamaka. And she'd go, I hear you! It's not the Lord. It can't be the Lord. And finally, after 2 weeks, I went out in the woods and spent a couple of days in the woods. And the Lord just got on me. He said, Chuck, turn your head off. Are you going to believe my word or not believe my word? We're the charismatic. I'm a charismatic Episcopal. This is really a conference. It's not just CEC. We'll see. I have more people next year that aren't CEC. But that's who I am. I'm a charismatic. I'm a charismatic archbishop. This is who we are. This is what I believe. And I don't want you to miss out on anything God has for you. So again, I'm going to pray for you. If you've been filled with the Spirit, just receive a fresh filling. and just start praising God in your prayer language. But if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, just receive. It's a grace. So just thank Him. If I'm praying for you, just thank Him. You with me? Just thank Him. And then open your mouth. And I'm not going to put any more pressure on you than that. Just open your mouth and start praising God. You can do it very quietly, but not in English. But you got to speak. They spoke. You can't just like, you got to speak, but not in English. And we've seen bishops and archbishops and, I don't know if we had, we've had bishops and clergy and priests and lay people, businessmen and women all over the world prayed for them like this. So Lord, I thank You so much. Lord Jesus, that You live in with all that You are in every one of these people who are Christians. Lord, if there's one person here, let's just start here. If there's one person here who's not sure, you don't know that you know that Jesus Christ lives inside of you. Let's just do this old school. You don't know that you know that you know that your sins are forgiven, and you don't know that you know that you know that if you were to die today, that you'd spend eternity in heaven. If you're not sure about that, let's settle it right now. Let's become a Christian. So everybody have their eyes closed, please. Everybody, please, and don't violate that trust. If you're not sure that Jesus Christ lives in you, if you're not sure that you're given and that if you something happened to you today, you'd spend eternity in heaven. If you're not sure, everybody keep your eyes closed. All right, I got a paint gun up here, paintball gun. I will hit you right in the head with the paintball gun. So everybody will know who you are. Everybody, eyes closed. If you're not sure, but you'd like to be sure about that, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. Raise your hand so I can see it. Okay. So I just want you very quietly in your own heart, pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for my sin. I just thank You now that You want to come live inside of me, and I receive You as my free gift, as my Savior, to live inside of me. I thank You for the free gift of forgiveness, and I thank You for the free gift of eternal life. Now the rest of you, I'm going to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And again, if you've been filled, just receive a fresh filling. In Acts chapter 4, the same people who had been filled in Acts 2 got filled again. It's called the door number 4 for more. So if you just need more, just we let them do that. But if you've never been filled, I want you to just receive. Just thank Him. It's a gift. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to earn it. Just thank Him. You know, I don't care what you feel. Just thank Him. The truth. And then open your mouth and start praising God very quietly, like whispers if you want to. And you can shout if you want to, but like whispers if you want to, but not in English. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Fill all these young people and even adults here, Lord, who need fresh filling. Fill them, Holy Spirit, with Yourself. Release the very fullness of Christ into their souls to take over as Lord and life. Come, Holy Spirit. Just keep praising. And again, if you've never received your prayer language, if you have already, open your mouth and worship God, but not in English. If you never have, worship God, but not in English. If you have a prayer language, please start using your prayer language. If you say, I'm too shy, there's a grace for that. Just receive the grace and go for it. If that works, thank Him and then go for it.
Kurara riyandara baba baba kasundi.
Holy Spirit, fill them. Just give them more. Release all that Jesus is from their spirit, affecting their souls and bodies, Lord. There are people here are going to be healed now because of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Just physical things, you're being healed, even now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Look up real quick. You can stay standing. Think of this as you without Jesus. But think of this as a glove that's really biological. It's not just plastic. It's like made up of cells and it's got a personality and a will. But this glove was created for something. And that was created to hold a hand. And so this glove may want to do things, may desire to do things, may have emotions, but really can't do much of nothing. But you fill that glove with a hand. You fill that person, personality with Jesus. Then everything that hand's capable of, the glove's capable of. The hand's capable of picking something up, the glove's capable. The hand, whatever the hand can do now, the glove's able to do. That's the Christian life. That's living a spirit-filled life. Is now Christ so fitting himself with your humanity. Being in Christ, Christ being in you, that everything that the hand's capable of, everything that Jesus is capable of, minute by minute, is what you're capable of. Amen? Well, I love all you guys. Thank you for coming. I want to thank the worship team, and Karen for all the details. But I really, 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 really particularly want to thank Roxanne. This is her vision. This is her heart, her passion. She's prayed into this. So let's just... and we'll pray about it. We'll see if God wants us to do this again. Next year, I think we're leaning in that direction, and we believe we'll have some more kids come. And so go home and stay filled. That's the whole, there's an app for that, moment by moment. All right? You got the phone, you got all the apps, just push the button by faith. Thanks, Lord. There's a grace for that. All righty, Lord, bless him. We send them home to walk in personal and perpetual revival in all the nitty-gritty things that make up their daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen.